If you would turn to Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10 and verse 25. Now, I talked about this, Neil actually used this at the end of his sermon Sunday evening, but I did talk about this very point on my invitation last Wednesday. So I got there first. But no, I love this parable, and I haven't used it too much, but I want to look over it and talk about it briefly tonight. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. And I think there's a lot of good lessons, or a few good lessons, I should say, from this parable that we can take, we can use. And, if you know this parable, what's a word you can think of when you think of the parable of the Good Samaritan? If you had one word. Compassion, right? What else? Mercy, right. Yeah, I actually had mercy down as well, but yeah, compassion, mercy. We can think of some more as well. And when we understand mercy, when we think about mercy, it's more than just a feeling of compassion, a feeling of pity. It's an activity. There's action involved with mercy as well. Vine even talks about mercy as an outward manifestation of pity. So it's, again, something, there's an action involved in it when we think of it. So let's look at Luke chapter 10, beginning verse 25. And I'll read this. It says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed and came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. Whatever you will spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." And again, there are some interesting thoughts in here, and I was going to get to this later, but one thing I want to jump to is even verse 22. Because I've looked at it in maybe in different ways, but you kind of don't really, until you look at verse 22, fully understand, I think, the context of what's always also being said here. But in verse, where did I say? Not 22. Verse 29, sorry. It says, "But he, desiring to justify himself to Jesus, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" I want you to think about that for a few minutes, because we're going to get to that a little bit later. And I kind of phrased it that way when I asked the question, says, "Who is my neighbor?" So we'll look at that. Just think about that as we go along this as well. But there are some lessons that we can take, again, from this parable. And mercy, again, we talked about compassion. We talked about mercy. And again, when Christ said at the end here, when he asked, "So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" He said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." And the Samaritan here was good, and he had a great character because he was merciful. He saw him. He had mercy. Why is it, do you think, that people pass by when they see someone in trouble? So we had two prior to the Samaritan who just walked right by him, said walked on the other side. Was it that they didn't see it? They didn't know it was there? No, I think it's pretty obvious from what we can read from the scriptures that they saw him. But it said they passed by on the other side. And often people will look away, go the other way, go to the other side when they see trouble, when they see someone hurt And why is that? Go ahead, Matt. Yeah, good point. Do they not really have the time to deal with it? Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good point, too. And I think Matt said people don't have time to deal with it, and that's true. And I would say I think they realistically do have time. They don't want to take the time. They want to put themselves in a position where it might take them another couple of minutes because we don't have any extra time in this world today, do we? We have to get from point A to point B right now, right then and there. And in a sense, that's true, right? I talked about this before, but I get up at the same time every day. I have a routine for the most part. And you don't always leave too much of a buffer for it. But, you know, if I'm going somewhere, if I have an appointment, I always make an extra buffer for it, right? I try to get to work early. There are people that come into work, right? It's like 30 seconds to go. And, well, I'm on time. You're supposed to be ready to go at time you're starting work. And I always try to make it a habit to get there early. Give yourself a buffer because something could happen. Sometimes things usually do happen. But yeah, some people don't want to take the time to deal with it. What else? Good. Yeah, and that's a great point. Paul said someone else will take care of it. I don't have to worry about it. Someone else is going to do it for me. Does that happen? Does that usually happen? It can, but not usually. And that's a good point with this because it's not as if they're on a busy highway right now. That a multitude of people are going to be passing by. A multitude are going to be able to see this and do something about it. So yeah, it could be the fact that someone else is going to handle it. Someone else will take care of it. And I think that's another issue that we have as Christians. Again, that we think someone else is going to do it. I've used that theme before, even when we talk about work. It's the same thing. I can't just idly sit by and think, well, someone else is going to deal with it. Someone else is going to handle it. And it's going to happen. Brother Etheridge, sorry. Right. Yeah, the brother Esther said this band had nothing, so they're going to have to give something. They're going to have to do something. And that, and what's the word I want to say with that? That kind of turns people away at times. I don't want to give any of my time because who is this? Who is this person? And again, one of the themes we're talking about in this parable is not only just mercy, but being a neighbor and what that means. Absolutely great point, Lori. Right. And that's a good point, too. Lord said sometimes people are afraid because they don't know if they're being set up. They could get hurt. And that does happen. Do you want to stop at nighttime on a road that you have no idea maybe even where you're at and someone, and they could. That's another issue that we have to deal with in our world today even, because that's where we're at today. One of the things that I think about when I think about this parable is just where we're at as a society today. We're to the point where there was a guy at work not too long ago, and he had a video of, it was like a video of road rage of people. And again, it's one of those things I've talked about, I've used too, that someone just gets upset if you do this or you do that, the smallest little things. But we're in a society today to where, okay, well, this is the question. Who is my neighbor then? Who is it? Who's your neighbor? Everyone. Good. Yeah, absolutely. It's everyone. And we need to treat everyone as that. The first thing you think of, I think, when you think of your neighbor is the person who lives right next to me, right behind me, on this side. That's my neighbor. But no, and the point of this parable, one of the points, I think, of this parable is the fact that everyone is our neighbor and we should treat everyone with the same. It's crazy in the world today because people are just walking around as if nothing matters to them except for what they have, what they want to do to feel good or whatever it may be. Greg.
Kind of the,
Right. We had, there was a, well, I did, I'll tell you, I got to tell you a test I did, but I just remember in, I remember in fire school that if you would go, if the instructor would go in the restroom and see something out of place, like a little paper towel on the floor or something else, and he would ask, well, who didn't pick this up? And they would test sometimes just to see how long it was there, how many people went in and out, because everyone would step over it and say, well, I didn't drop that paper towel down there. I'm not going to pick it up. But whose responsibility is that? So if we walk in, if you're walking right now down this aisle and Mark, there's a paper towel right there in the middle, what are you going to do? Now you're on the spot. Are you going to walk by it? Pick it up. Why? Yeah, it's the right thing to do, absolutely. And we could use the, that's someone else, someone else will do it, someone else will take care of it. I had a class a few weeks ago at the close to the university. I had a class, it was a week-long class I had to go to. So when I was leaving, there were the paper towel dispenser in the restroom where I'm at. I mean, we're in the back offices right now of the station, so I'm on days right now, and we ran out. We were out, and I didn't have time because we were out the door. We have to go. Okay, well, we came back later that night, and there were no paper towels in there. I'm like, I can't believe someone went a whole day without refilling the paper towels. So I'm going to do an experiment. I'm purposely not going to fill the paper towels. It went a whole week, one whole week, until I filled them, the paper towels. So I don't know, was that bad on my part just to leave it? I mean, I did it on purpose because I just wanted to see. But how are people drying their hands?
Don't wash.
Yeah, that was probably it. Or someone's clothing, uniforms are just wet. Go ahead. Jesse. And Jesse would say we make excuses why. And I think the other thing is, and I know people that spend more time getting out of doing something and expend more energy getting out of doing something than actually doing it itself. They could have been done with the job, completed. Instead, they were looking for ways to get out of it too. Sam. What if we all just did the right thing right then and there? How much better would we all be? How much better would the world be? So. That's the only thing I did, though. I didn't.
Okay, so. No, I mean, like, was it on the
floor? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And again, that's why I go back to, what if we did that? You know, what if we helped one another? What if we cared for one another? And we just take the time. We put forth the effort. We're strong and we do it. How much better would all of us benefit from that as well? Absolutely. Good point. Was there a hand back here? Did I see? Did I miss? Okay. Anybody else? Dale.
TV on, court or something, they'll say, don't ask a question unless you know the answer to it already. This lawyer was putting that into practice. He knew the answer because in verse 27, he gave the answer to it. He knew what the old law taught. That was over in Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Right.
He knew already before he... So he was trying Jesus, you know.
Right.
Do I know more than you do?
Right.
I don't know that he was thinking that, but that's what it kind of sounds like. And then, so he gave the answer in verse 27. And then he goes on over in the parable after all this that you read there in the parable. He knew the answer again in verse 37. He says, after Jesus had asked him in verse 36, which one of these is the neighbor? But he didn't have to stop and say, well, let me think about that just a minute.
Right.
He knew already. He knew.
And I thought about that as well, because it's sometimes hard to say what exactly he was thinking, but you're right, it's almost immediately he said the one who showed him mercy, and he knew the answer to it.
You know, I mean, why would he do that, trying to trip up Jesus?
Absolutely.
And that's what he was trying to do.
Right, and that's a good point, too, and that's why I think that's part of the lesson involved with the parable, because when you look at verse, I know I said 22 earlier, but verse... 29. Thank you. I heard it. When he talks about it, it sets that up with that in order to justify himself. So I think the fact that it says that he was a lawyer, right, and he would have had some knowledge. He would have been a smart person, and he did ask a great question here in the fact that what must I do? What do I need to do to have eternal life? And I don't think there was any doubt that he was an intelligent person. He knew the law. He was a lawyer. He could quote it, as you said, with accuracy in there, verses 27 and 28 even, and then down in verse 37. So he knew exactly. But the fact was that he was deficient in, I think, the actual meaning of it. And he had the right knowledge, had the right information. But then the problem is, for many people, is what you do with it. I can know everything. But what exactly how do I use it? What do I do with it? There was conversations, you know, I know Kevin and Matt, the class we teach at Waco, and I know in my class we've been talking about some of these very things of how we go about someone. One thing we talked about even recently that came up was we're absolutely right when we can quote Scripture and tell someone that this is what Scripture said and they're wrong. But it's also, how do we use that? How do we do it? I guess is the best way I'm saying. If I just say, you're absolutely wrong, this is what the Scripture says, and you better change or else, are you all of a sudden compelled to change anyone? No. But if I sit down with you and I talk with you and I show you, because what does, when I sit down and I discuss it with you, what does that show? Jesse, you said it earlier. Yeah, that I care, right? There's caring involved with it, that I want to do something with it. And that's where one of the lessons I think we take from this, the compassion, the mercy in here as well. Now, the Samaritan, you know, religiously, they weren't right, but he understood here. And again, I go back, let's go back to that question there that the lawyer asked, and his answer was right, but what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And he summarizes the law in the first two commandments, love God, love my neighbor, And Jesus told him to do this, and he would live, meaning he would have then eternal life. And that's what he means by that. But rather than confess that he could not and hadn't done this, it says here that he wanted to justify himself. And so I'll go back to verse 29. It says, he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? But again, I'll ask the question in this way, because to me, this is, I believe, kind of how it sounds, especially when the Scripture prefaces it with the fact that he wanted to justify himself, who is my neighbor? And I think it takes on a little bit of a better meaning with that. So again, when we ask the question of who is my neighbor, you know, he assumed that more so that the law was, and I think about, and who just said it, Heather, you might have said it a minute ago, or Brother Etheridge, you might have said it, but again, depending on that person, who we saw this person, well, they don't really fit up to my standards. That's not the person who, you know, I talk to. I guess that's kind of what I was thinking with this too, was that's not the person that I hang around with. That's, I don't want to be seen with that person. Jake. Sure.
You know, he was definitely right in what he did, and I would hope that I would have the opportunity and that I would do that myself. But I definitely think that he acted in not only a loving manner, but a very wise manner.
Good point, Jake. Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing you said, too, is, and I think it's with anything that we do, we have to be smart about it. That we're not just blindly doing this or doing that, but we think about what we're doing. And it's like a phrase I've heard for a while, but anything we do, there's purpose behind it. Any movements you make, there's purpose behind what we do. And too often, many people, and some of the examples we've talked about here tonight, was the fact that, well, I don't have time. I don't want to deal with it. No one else is dealing with it. Another discussion we had not too long ago, but we were talking in a Sunday morning class about speed limits. And think about this. There was a sergeant from the sheriff's office, and do you know what the average speed, I don't know if I've already said this or not, 77, like we're in Stark County, so that stretch from here down to the airport, for instance, on 77, do you know what the average speed is? This is what he told me, at least. 82, he told me, is the average on 77. Do you know what the speed limit is? 65, yeah. So 82, nearly 20 miles per hour over it as well. So anyways, there was a member who asked me, he said, well, isn't it okay if everyone else is doing that because I don't want to get hit, I don't want to get creamed, you know? And I said, so, and I didn't say it exactly like this, but I kind of did, but so is it because everyone else is doing what's wrong, I should also do it? That way, I'm just going to go along with it as well. And no, that's not the case. And I think about, Don was talking about something not too long ago, and that was the thing I was going to use, and I can't remember what the example was. But again, everyone's doing it, so let's, and you're probably the same way. I catch myself all the time, and I look down, and cars are going, and I'm like, I must be going like 50 miles an hour. And I'm going over the speed limit myself. So that's one of the things I think about with this parable too, was everyone else was just passing by. So I'm just like, can't blame me because everyone else is doing it. So I'm going to go by as well. Yeah. Brother Taylor.
As you were saying that, I thought, what if that Samaritan had a thought like that? Well, there were two Jews that already passed him up.
Everyone passed him, yeah.
Why shouldn't I pass him up, you know?
Yeah.
And I was looking over in Luke chapter
16.
He's talking to the Pharisees there. You know, do as I say, not as I do. Man, that was their mentality.
Yeah.
In verse 16. You want to read that?
Yeah, Luke 16, verse 16.
Yeah.
Christ here speaking says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since then, 15, sorry. Go back. Luke 15 and verse 16. I'm sorry, chapter Luke 16, verse 15.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry. It says, and he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God.
That pretty well describes that Lord, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we're just looking to be, we want the outward, we want our appearance to be that way. And again, like you said, everyone else is passing by. No one else is doing. But what if we did that same thing? What if we were just like, someone else will do good. They don't need to. I don't need to worry about it.
And somebody said here, you know, in this day and time, it is scary to pull over. I remember when I was younger, I didn't think of anything at all about pulling over somebody that, you know, if the hood was up on something, or if a person was hitchhiking. How many people in this room would pick up a hitchhiker right now?
Exactly. Right.
Not unless I knew that person. You have to use common sense, good judgment.
Yeah, and I think I heard someone say, and Jake just talked about that too a moment ago too, but we have to be smart and we have to think about what we're doing. I think you might have said it before that God gave us a mind to think.
Yeah.
Right? And we know, and there are times, you know, that we know what we should be doing also. And you're right, we have to use common sense with it.
So. That Samaritan, we could begin to say, you know how they were looked on by the Jews, they didn't call them dogs.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
And so he would have been basically justified,
right,
by passing him up, but he didn't do it.
Yeah, because he could be thinking, well, what are they going to say anyways, even if I do help them? Good point, absolutely. Cody, did you have your hand?
I was going to comment that another question he's asked, the Lord is asking, when he's actually asking, who is my neighbor, is the real answer he wants to know is, who is not my neighbor?
Right, yeah, good point. Who isn't? And we can look at that in that way as well, too. And again, that's why I go back to even the question, well, who's your neighbor, who's my neighbor? It's everybody. It's all of us. How do we treat people? And what if that were, and I'll change around because I want to get to some of this, more of this story in this parable in the last few minutes we have, but, and good point, but what if we're the, that person who's down? What if we're the one hurt? What if we're the one in trouble? How would we feel? And this is, you know, we use this example because this road from Jerusalem to Jericho was known to have, you know, it was very looking, I guess what's the word, geographically at it, it was very rocky. There were a lot of cliffs, a lot of caves, and apparently even throughout history this was a road known to have robbers and people hiding in the caves and doing that. So, you know, and again, we have to look at that and try to understand that. We don't have all those situations today, but there are some. Heather. No, absolutely. And Heather was talking that, you know, there are situations there where, and people are trying to trick you, trying to scam you. Who doesn't get scammed on a daily basis or attempt to get scammed on a daily basis today? You know, apparently everybody wants to give me 0% credit. I get phone calls all day long, insurance and a lot of things, but that's a different, that's a little bit different here, but absolutely. So we're not sure exactly. And I'm going to get to this point now. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit because both of you talked about this, but I want to talk about what he also did in here as well. But again, you know, we talk about the road itself. It was bad. He talks first that the priest, there's a priest that passes by here. He passes by on the side. What was he thinking, again, when he passed by? And that was another question that's something we think about. The Levite went by. He passed by as well. You know, there's no compassion here. There's no thought. There's no care. But that's a big problem in our world. That's a big problem in our society today that people just don't care. They're empty, their eyes. And I mean that. You look inside their eyes, it's just empty. No one cares about anything except for, again, what am I going to get? What am I going to do? What's going to benefit me? What's going to be great for me here? And unfortunately, that's our world today. That's where we need to teach ourselves. We need to teach our kids. We need to be aware of it and to understand it and fight and not just sit by. Not be just like that person going by and someone else will take care of it. Guess what? You have to take care of it today. I have to take care of it today. All of us have a responsibility towards it. And I fear for my kids, for your kids, everyone's kids. Because what's the future? You know, things weren't great when I was younger. Now I sound like my parents, grandparents, you know. And you'll say the same thing. I don't mean this in any bad way, but we didn't lock the door. We didn't do this. And where are we at today? You know, it's almost we're at the point where you do need a video. I don't know what it was. I'm hoping it was just like an ATV, but it was a wide footprint. It's like a vehicle went through our front yard and the neighbors, two neighbors' yards onto the road a couple weeks ago. Then that's like, I wanted to have one of the video cameras out there just to see. But we're at a point where we do need it because you have a package delivered the same day when you order it. Someone's going to take it from your porch. But one thing that we talk about when the Samaritan, when he comes by here, and it said at the end of verse 33 that as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So it's already setting up, Christ is already setting up this parable right here too with the fact that he saw compassion. He knew that something was wrong. He knew then that he needed to help. And it's the fact that if he had the ability to help, that he should. And we're going to talk about mercy as well, but it says, it talks about then, and let's look with verse 34 then on. It says, he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn to take care of him. And when he talks about, there's a point here that I read that someone made a comment on, the fact that it said he poured oil and wine on it. Now, I say this because he wasn't just dabbing on there. He wasn't just touching it. It said that he poured. These were both very expensive things to have, both the oil and wine, and it said that he was pouring on it. And then it says that he put him on his own beast. He put it on his own. So it's we're getting more mercy, more compassion as we go along with this. So it says then he brought him to an inn and took care of him. So I can assume then from this is that he was in a sense, changing his bandages, attending to his wounds. And then, like Heather, both you and Jake even talked about here a moment ago, it says, and the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to an innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I come back. In reading up on 2 denarii, that was, does anyone know what 2 denarii roughly? Who said that? A day's wage? For the inn, it was about 24 days worth. The common care of an innkeeper might cost 1/12 of a denarii, and it's 24 days worth. And it's very generous. And the one thing we think about that, first he gave him money to do it, right? And then what does he say, though, after giving him money? What's the last part of verse 35 say? It says, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. So, when he comes back, the innkeeper says, that was $1 million I took. Right? Right now, he just said, whatever you spend to take care of him, I will repay you. So what else does that show? Well, it goes back to the mercy, goes back to compassion that it shows here. Could the innkeeper have taken advantage of him? Absolutely, right? And he could, I exaggerated and joked about it was $1 million to take care of him, but he could just say, whatever, drop off your, next time your car needs repair, drop it off at the repair shop, give him your credit card, and just tell him whatever it costs to fix it and get it going, do it. Raise your hand if you're going to do that. Go ahead. Barb, you're going to? Okay, you have a comment or question. Go ahead. Yeah, good point. Yes. So Barb said there's also, if you didn't hear, complete selfishness in there. And again, what are our actions? What do we think of when we see someone in trouble? Are we ready to help? Are we ready to do something? Or I wouldn't even go back to the point of it's someone else's problem. They're going to take care of it. I'm not going to worry about it. But I think it also talks about we need to look at this and think about ourselves. Where do I fit into this? Which person of these three am I? Am I going to pass by when someone is in need? And whatever that need may be. And I'm not saying it's even someone who's hurt, someone who's down. Sometimes someone just wants to talk. Someone needs to talk. We need to be there for one another, especially. Are we or are we not? You know, if someone calls any of you tonight, tomorrow, hey, I really need to talk. Are we just going to shun them, stay away? I'll get to it at another time. But the other thing is, the question is, do we desire to? Do we want to? How do we set ourselves apart from others in the world today, I say, that are walking around just nothing? There's nothing there. They're walking around thinking, you know, whatever. I said this up here before, but and I know this sounds simple, but when someone holds a door open for you and you go through, do you say anything? What do you say? Thank you, right? We thank them for that. And when someone doesn't do that, what do? Or you say you're welcome anyways, right? Or like me, I just close the door really fast before they can get through. No, I don't really do that. But it does stop. It pause. It makes you think, right? Because I think most of, if not all of us, would thank someone for that. And I believe we're out of time. He's just about to ring, or do I have a few more seconds? One more second? Okay, one more minute. Does anyone have any other comments before we finish? Matt. Sure. Absolutely, you have to use common sense. And I think along the lines, maybe the bigger part of the story is when we know something is wrong, when we know someone that we can do something, are we going to do it? Absolutely. So thank you, everyone.